Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard another edition of Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful Labor Day weekend wherever you happen to be. And I know people think that Labor Day means summer is over. I beg to differ. Summer's not over till I say it's over. And I'll be saying that for quite some time because, well, I'm in denial. What can I tell you? You can always get us at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you can always email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. Now, you want to know where we are? I'll tell you. Get out your maps, boys and girls. 39 degrees, 41 minutes north, 75 degrees, 45 minutes west. We are in the second smallest state of the country. In fact, we are in Wilmington, Delaware, on the campus of the University of Delaware. And joining me right up top of the show is a native Delaware person. In fact, he's the governor of the state of Delaware, Jack Markell. Governor, welcome.
Thanks. Great to be here.
I mean, I was here a couple of weeks ago. I come back a lot. I love this state. Most of my friends have no idea about this state. I have to tell you this. It's one of their flyover states, or the Amtrak stops on the way between Washington and New York, and they don't get off unless their name is Joe Biden. So I guess the real question is, how, as a governor, do you let people know where you are and what you are?
Well, the best way is to get them here to check it out for themselves. And it's a wonderful state. It's a small state from top to bottom, just a couple hours and even less across. But there is so much to do. We, of course, have I-95 running through our state, about 26 miles of it. And many people, of course, just stay on 95, but there's a lot to do if you get off.
You know, we just did a piece on the CBS Evening News where I named the deadliest highways in America, and you know which one of them was, I-95.
Yeah, well,
but not in Delaware.
That's good to hear.
In Florida. I just thought I'd let you know that.
I'm glad to hear that. We actually have a brand-new travel center on I-95 in Delaware. It's worth checking out.
Let's talk about that. I mean, most people who I know in Washington, D.C. know Delaware because of the beach,
yep,
right? But that's about all they know. They don't know about how far back it goes in history. Yes, they know it was one of the original colonies. They know it was one of the original states. They know it was one of the original states to ratify the Constitution, correct?
Yeah, not just one of the original. We were the original. We were the first state, December 7th of 1787, and we were the state that started a nation.
Well, who's counting?
We're very proud of that.
I know you are. But when you think about it, there's so much history here. I mean, people know about Williamsburg, but that's not here, right? You got places like Newcastle, and they've got buildings that even are older than that.
We do. We go, it goes back, obviously, hundreds of years. We're very proud of our role in starting the nation. So there's a lot to see historically. There's a lot to see culturally. There's a lot to see in terms of just the natural beauty of the state. One of the things, I'm a big bike rider, and one of the things that I do every year is ride the entire length of the state. And I love
it. You picked the one state where you can do that.
That's true. That's true. We picked it for a reason. It's just a fantastic way to see our state. We've just got wonderful bike places to bike ride in our state. And it's so much to see and do.
Have you done a lot of the rails to trail stuff here as well, where they've taken the old railroad tracks and converted them to bike paths?
We've done a little bit of that, but frankly, we just have some great roads that we share with cars as well. So we do have some nice trails, but we've got some great roads as well.
From a much bigger perspective, you know, we're dealing in the year 2010 with at least two big wake-up calls, and I know, and you know, a volcano erupts in Iceland, and all of a sudden people realize travel's a pretty big story. We have an oil spill in the Gulf. Oh, my God, travel's a pretty big story. It is such an engine driver. I mean, it is such an economic power. As a governor of a state, how do you convince your own citizens about the power of travel and tourism in terms of their own economy and how there's a linkage there between everything else that they do? The example I would give you is we had the governor of Alabama on recently because of the oil spill, Mr. Riley, and he was telling me, look, this is not just a travel story about whether a fisherman is out of work or whether Mrs. Smith is going to see a tarball on the beach. Our entire tax base, at least in Alabama, is based on resort hotel occupancy taxes of people coming to visit us in the summer. Now we have a budget crisis where we can't even open our schools or pay our teachers or provide essential services because we're not getting that income.
Well, fortunately, we're not quite in that situation. Obviously, like many states, we face challenging times. But the best way, I mean, in Delaware, our citizens get it because it is a small enough state that they get out and about. Like your friends, they certainly know the beaches, but they also know the Brandywine Valley. Just beautiful, beautiful rolling hills, everything from Winterthur to the Hagley Museum, to the Delaware Art Museum. So many great cultural attractions, plus great restaurants. It's just a very easy place to get around, easy place to meet people as well.
And here in Wilmington, of course, you can't go anywhere without the DuPont family.
No, they have an amazing legacy. They really do, and they've preserved some of their most incredible treasures, including Winterthur, including Hagley, including the Moores. Wonderful gardens and a wonderful house. So there's a lot to do and see that way, and there's just a lot to experience, too.
As a governor, I'm going to put that on hold for a second, as a citizen, as a person who was born here, what's the one thing you like to do that is not in the brochure that anybody can do?
Yeah, well, I think certainly seeing the state by bike is just I love. And we've got fantastic state parks. I love hiking the trails of our state parks. I live very close to the Brandywine Creek State Park. There's White Clay, there's Bellevue, there's Cape Henlopen, and many others, Trap Pond and Killens Pond as well. So just getting out, I'm more of an outdoors person, and I love experiencing the outdoors. We also have, besides the road biking, we've got great mountain biking opportunities, hiking, all of that I just love.
See, everybody tells me they have great mountain biking opportunities. I ask where the nearest orthopedic surgery opportunities are. I just want to make sure that people are ready to do that.
We've got great orthopedic surgeons.
I bet
as well.
You do.
We certainly do.
You know, we were recently here doing a piece for CBS on the lesser-known national and state parks in America, and, of course, Delaware doesn't have a national park.
Not yet, although we think that may change soon. Senator Carper has been hard at work at that with the Department of Interior in Washington, and we think that may change soon.
Where is that going to be?
Well, it's actually a very interesting. It's going to be a collection of different places. It's not all going to be in one place. I think it may be, if not the first, one of the first to take that approach.
So it'll be the Delaware Amalgamated National Park.
That could be how it looks.
And brewery.
That's right. We do have some wonderful breweries.
I knew we were going to get to that.
I'm glad you brought that up. And really all parts of the state. Just a couple weeks ago, I was in Milton signing a bill allowing our breweries to expand. The Dogfish Head Brewery, very popular beer. We've got one up in Greenville called Twin Lakes and others in between.
So you know your breweries.
I tried, but I also don't drink and drive.
So it's the Governor Markell Bike and Brew. I just want to make sure we got the concept.
No, I also don't ride. I don't drink and drive.
I understand. Yeah. But you know your breweries. You got
to
go for it.
You do have to.
Bottom line is, when we come back, I want to talk about stuff that's truly off the brochure here. And, you know, when we talk about state parks, you got 17 state parks in Delaware. And we shot a couple of them. They're pretty good.
They're beautiful.
I know. All right, when we come back, more with Governor Jack Markell from the University of Delaware here in Wilmington. Some pretty good restaurants here, too.
Great restaurants.
See, we got that one down.
Yep.
All right, back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from Wilmington, Delaware, when we come back. In fact, when we come back, we're also going to be talking to our good friends at CruiseCritic.com. If you think that the cruise industry's got deals out there, they do. You know why? So many new ships today were built and ordered when the economy wasn't in trouble. Well, guess what? There's a lot of space to fill in those cruise ships. And if you know when to go, now's the time to figure it out. You can actually get some great deals. But then again, once you get on the ship, you got to watch out because everything's about onboard revenue. It's ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. You want to breathe. You want to climb the rock wall. You want to go to the casino. You want to go to the spa. Get out your wallet. Back with more right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Got a travel question or comment? Need advice? Jump on board now by calling the show at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here on this Labor Day weekend, coming to you from the University of Delaware in, where is that, sir?
Newark, Delaware.
Not Wilmington, Newark.
Newark.
All right, I've been corrected on the air by the governor himself. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
And that'll be the end of our conversation. No. One other thing I want to tell everybody, we do it always at this time of the show. It sounds self-serving, but it's not. Go to our website, which has the imaginative name, petergreenberg.com, for one very important reason. We have a comprehensive list there of all the aid and relief organizations doing all the hard and essential work in Haiti, in Chile, in Western China, and in the Gulf. All of these are requiring huge rebuilding efforts, especially in Haiti. Just because it's not on anybody else's front page, it's still on ours. We're talking about a 10-year rebuilding effort. They're a generation of rebuilding, and there are many different ways you can help that go beyond just texting $10 on your cell phone, which, by the way, helps too. Red Cross has raised over $41 million that way. But we're talking about where you can become actively, physically, and directly involved on location and really bring something interesting to the party, otherwise known as you. So check out our website, petergreenberg.com, for that list. Governor, right before we went to the break, we were talking about stuff that's not in the brochure that you like to do. But one of the things that I think distinguishes Delaware, and people don't give it enough credit, is culture.
Absolutely. And whether you like the visual arts, we've got the terrific Delaware Art Museum. It was renovated a couple years ago. Historical winter tour, and I think you're going to have a guest later. Just an amazing place, the preeminent place in the country when it comes to antique American furniture. The gardens there as well. We've got the performing arts, the DuPont Theater, the Delaware Theater Company, the Symphony.
And by the way, at the Hotel DuPont, they've got a theater in there, too.
That's right.
People don't remember that, but they do.
Yeah, and they generally do some Broadway kind of productions. Delaware Theater Company does a wide range. We've got the Symphony, the Delaware Opera. For a place of our size, you know, we're not a big state, 885,000 people, but we're a great location, easy to get to, and we've got really some tremendous cultural opportunities.
And yet, when you look around the country right now, the airlines have parked a lot of planes in the desert. They've reduced their capacity. Fewer planes means fewer flights. Fewer flights means fewer seats. Fewer seats mean higher airfares. It's a great place to get to if you're taking a train or driving.
It really is. I mean, we're an hour from Baltimore. We're half an hour from Philadelphia, a couple hours each from New York and Washington, D.C. So we have, within a few-hour drive, just tens of millions of Americans and people who are looking to get away, to relax, to see something new. It is a very easy drive.
Or to see something old.
That's true.
I mean, quite frankly, Delaware to me is antique roadshow on steroids. I mean, that's a good thing.
We've got some great historical places to see. The Old Newcastle is just a really charming old town where the Swedes landed over 370 years ago. Some tremendous places to see.
I have an admission to make. I was there, and every third store is selling a quilt. and I bought one.
Well, good.
I want you to know that.
We appreciate it.
And of course. I contributed to the local economy.
Thank you.
But let's talk about airlift for a second, because you got a problem there in terms of airlines serving the state.
No, well, actually, but we're half an hour from the Philadelphia airport.
So you're okay there.
We're in very good shape. We're also about probably an hour and a quarter from BWI. Most people come in certainly to the northern part of the state through Philadelphia, and again, it's just as easy to get to Wilmington as it is pretty much to get to Philadelphia.
Your biggest airport, quite frankly, is Dover Air Force Base.
We have a tremendous Air Force Base in Dover. We've also got a big presence of the military in New Castle County through the National Guard. Very proud of both of them. Big economic generators for the state as well.
What's the biggest challenge you have in terms of travel and tourism?
I think it probably is about it's about awareness. I mean, you know, with a limited budget, it's about breaking through. But once people come here, they see it, they want to come back because it's affordable, it's varied. There's all kinds of things to do, to see, to experience, to eat, to taste, and we just need to get more and more people to check it out because once you come, you want to come back.
Now, of course, before you were governor, you were in the private sector. What lessons have you applied from the private sector to try to get things organized?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, these days it really is about jobs. It's focusing people in on what our competitive advantage is. That's what you do when you're in the private sector. You say, what do we do better than others, and how do we take advantage of that? It's the same thing here. And when you combine our location, all the things to do, to see how easy it is to get here, how easy it is to be once you are here, we need to get that message out. It's really about marketing.
Now, I'm going to ask you not a question as a governor, but as a traveler.
Yep.
Okay, going outside the state. Every once in a while, you do go outside the state.
I do.
What angers you most as a traveler?
These days, I have to say it is about the experience of the airlines. Less and less space, fewer and fewer planes, as you mentioned. It can be quite the frustrating experience.
Just ask that JetBlue flight attendant.
That's true. He seemed to have internalized it.
No, I think JetBlue's going to announce a new no gate, no problem policy. Just pop the chute, take a couple of beers, go home. You know, it worked for him.
Yeah. It seems to.
No, but seriously, I mean, if you talk to your other fellow governors, I'm sure they have the same problem. I mean, in terms of a growing amount of anger among their own constituents about just being able to go from A to B.
It's hard. And, you know, again, we're fortunate being in Delaware because we're so easy to get to on, you know, being right on 95.
What you're basically saying is by the time somebody gets here, they've already been abused by the airline. You're happy to see them then.
And they'll be relaxed. We'll take good care of them once they get here.
What about train service? Because, you know, a lot of publicity when Joe Biden became vice president because all of a sudden people discovered he was taking the train for years, right? I'm a big train fan.
Well, Amtrak, the Wilmington Amtrak station is one of the busiest in the country. It's just right in the middle of the Northeast Corridor. It's a great little station, so easy to get in and out of. It's actually being renovated right now, and will be finished within a few months. It's going to be beautiful, and it is a great way. In fact, we have a lot of people who live up in Pennsylvania or Maryland, for that matter, who come and use the Wilmington station because it's so convenient for them.
What kind of lobbying can you do at the federal level to make sure that Congress understands the importance of trains? Because for the period of at least the last 20 years, it's been an afterthought. Amtrak has been allowed to just sort of like literally kind of lumber along. I mean, they don't even own the tracks, you know. So for people who want high-speed rail, it may not happen in our lifetime.
Well, one of the four things that we're fortunate about in Delaware, we've been represented in Washington by senators and congressmen for a long time who live in Delaware and who commute. So they get it. And certainly the vice president, when he was senator, got it. Senator Carper, now Senator Kaufman, Congressman Castle. They commute back and forth. They understand very personally how important solid, reliable, fast train service is, and they're great advocates.
So what you're basically saying to me is if you want to go between Delaware and Washington, as long as they're there, you're on the train, baby.
Whoever's there is going to get it because it's so important to our economy.
Yeah. I remember when John McCain was on the Aviation Subcommittee, the biggest contribution he made as a senator was nonstop flights from Reagan to Phoenix. I wonder how that happened.
I wonder why. No, we're in a great place, and we're going to that'll continue to be real important to us.
But I mean, have you actually thought about increasing the rail network?
We would love to, and I think obviously it's incredibly expensive. And you know, the Obama administration last year did put out some additional money. We Delaware got a small planning grant. We would love to see more rail, but it's incredibly expensive.
Because one of the biggest arguments for basically alleviating plane delays is high-speed rail on short-haul routes.
Yeah, there's no question. And when it comes to the main Northeast Corridor, New York to D.C., Delaware is right there where we need to be. But we would love to see more through parts of Maryland and other parts of the region, too.
That's the bottom line. Acela calls itself high-speed. And we all know that's not really true. It gets to go high speed for about 30 miles, and after that, if it went high speed, it would derail.
Well, I think we have a lot to learn from what other countries have done in terms of really supporting rail.
We did this show, by the way, from the French high-speed rail in Paris. We're going 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And the wine never – did I mention wine? Oh, you mentioned beer, so I can mention –
we've got some great vineyards in Delaware, too.
Ah, a winemaking state?
That's right.
Nobody knows that.
Yeah, NASA Vineyards down in Lewis being one. Yeah,
now they know NASCAR.
We love NASCAR, and people ought to come check it out. They can actually drive around the track. It is a rush. I did it last year. I don't know the last time I've had so much fun. I was scared to death, but it was a lot of fun.
Well, I should tell you something. Maybe I shouldn't tell you, but we did the show from Indianapolis, and they said if you come out and do the show, we're going to get you on a two-seater Indy car,
yep.
And you're going to go around at 185 miles an hour. So I did. I'm not going to tell you who the driver was, but you know who it is, okay? And I'm telling you, that was the all-time thrill ride for me, hugging the wall 6 inches off the wall at 100, and you know where your tush is, right? Well, here's the funny part of the story. I'll tell you who it was. It was Al Unser Jr.
Okay.
So I was thrilled. Al Unser Jr. is driving me around the track. We come back around. They take the photographs. Great. We do the radio show. I get back in my car, go out to the airport, fly back from Indianapolis to Los Angeles. The next day, headline, Al Unser Jr. busted for DUI.
Oh.
Okay, then.
That's something. Well, that's not going to happen if you come to Dover. And in Dover, you get to drive around with...
You do the breathalyzers of the drivers before they take you around the track. I just want to make sure we got that.
That's how we do it. But you get actually, in Dover, you get to drive yourself.
You're kidding.
No. No, it is a thrill.
We should do a story on that.
You should. It is a great time.
Wow. Okay.
It's a great time.
And
They train you first, and I think...
That would be helpful.
Yep, that's very helpful. And I think I probably went around 10 times or so.
Wow. Yeah. What happened on the 11th?
I pulled over. I was ready to get out. I was scared to death, honestly. But it's fun.
So you reached your limit.
I was about done.
All right. Governor Markell, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate that.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming by. And where are we again?
We're in Newark, Delaware.
Thank you, sir. And when we come back, more Peter Greenberg Worldwide from the University of Delaware in Newark. Back with more right after this.
Do To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Avis. Avis, we try harder.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here coming to you from Wilmington, Delaware, actually Newark, Delaware, at the University of Delaware campus. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You can email me at peter@petergreenberg.com. Let's go right to the phones. We've got Mike on the phone. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. I understand you're a volunteer firefighter.
Yes, I didn't know you were, and but I see that you are. Good on you.
I am. I've been since I'm 18. I'll be on duty right after this show, so nice to hear from you. What's your question?
Well, actually, it wasn't a question. I just wanted to let you guys know if I was unjustly charged. I'm taking my mother, who's 88, and her friend over to England. We booked some tickets through British Air on their U.S. website. It said funds are in U.S. It's a U.S. website. Anyway, when the charge came in, there was a foreign transaction fee of about 3%. And anyway, I called up Visa. They said I did not expect that they would do anything. And frankly, I don't know if the problem was with Visa or with British, but I suspect it's British. And anyway, called up Visa, and they blew the charge off. But it's one of those things that, you wouldn't expect to see on your bill.
Well, actually, you should expect to see it on your bill, and I'll tell you why. Foreign transaction fees are a clever way for a lot of credit card companies to make additional money, and it ranges from 1% to 3%. Many credit card companies will charge you 1% when you do it overseas, and then your local bank will tack on another 1% to 2%. There's your total of 3%. So you're lucky, by the way, that they actually took the charge off your bill. There are credit card companies out there, one of which being Capital One, and there are some other credit card companies as well that don't charge you a foreign transaction fee. And anytime you're going to go overseas, before you ever go over there, check with your own credit card company and make sure about that. Otherwise, you're going to be spending a whole lot more money than you thought you did, okay?
No, actually, this is where the reason that they brought it off. This is on British Air's U.S. website, and it says in U.S. funds.
Then you know what? I see what you're saying. Then in that case, you were right to point it out to them, and they were absolutely correct in taking it off. But we still have to watch out for that.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Mike, I appreciate it. Keep up the good work as a volunteer firefighter.
Hey, you too. I'll feel safe when I'm back there.
Okay, I'll do my best to take care of that for you.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, man. Our next guest, a regular on our show, she's the editor-in-chief of Cruise Critic. Always has something interesting to say, and of course today will be no different because she is Carolyn Spencer Brown. Hey, Carolyn.
Hey, Peter. You are actually near one of my favorite hotels in the entire world, which is the Inn at Mont Shannon outside of Wilmington.
Wow. Tell me more about it.
It's a very small, sort of upscale place, but a great price point, and it's all of these like old cobbler's cottages from when Wilmington was very industrial, from the DuPont legacy, and one of the DuPont descendants took the cottages and fixed them up and made them a really darling cottage-style hotel, but very nice.
Cool. But let's shift gears to other small little cottages, otherwise known as cruise cabins. You bet. every time I'm about to go on the air, I see more and more sales for cruise lines last minute. Are we back to excess capacity again?
No, what we're back to really is the same old pattern of this coming into sort of the low season time for cruising. So this period, September through December, minus the holiday periods, is really just about the best time of the year to get a great deal.
All right, so give me some examples of what's out there.
Well, we're seeing some almost back to 2009 style deals. But again, so what we're talking about is we've been seeing a lot of $100, $75 a day deals all year. That's as good as it's gotten. And in 2009, it was like 25 to 50. So we're seeing more 50 to 75 for the fall time. And
well, $50 a night deals on a cruise line, you can't afford to be in Wilmington for $50 a night.
You certainly can't even pay to be in Newark for $50.
Newark, please.
Newark,
get it right.
Sorry about that.
I've been corrected by the governor. I stand corrected. But bottom line is, you know, as long as the kids are back in school and you've got some time, now's a great time to take a cruise.
This is a great time. Now, I will caution everybody about the Caribbean, Atlantic Canada, and the Mexican Riviera. Remember, it's also prime time for hurricanes. And so we haven't had anything really significant this year yet, but don't get lulled into sort of, you know, complacency.
Well, the good news is you can still buy travel insurance even when it comes to hurricanes as long as you buy the insurance before the Weather Service names the hurricane. You can't buy fire insurance once the house is on fire.
Well, I think that sounds like a good comparison.
Well, that's sort of what was going on. It's sort of like, and one of these days we have to tell BP that you can't build a fire truck when the house is on fire. You have to already have the fire truck ready.
Exactly. That's a good point.
Yeah. All right, so bottom line is we've got some excess capacity. It's a great seasonal time, although the Christmas cruises, I'm sure, are already selling out.
Been the hot sellout for
really?
The last couple of years. I mean, I remember when I first started covering the cruise industry, you had to book a year out to get Christmas. And now I think it's changing. First of all, the fact that there's so many more ships that are oriented to families, but families, a lot of them don't want to go for Christmas. They want to stay home for Christmas or go to grandma's. So I think that there's a lot more capacity at Christmas these days than there used to be, and which means you can get a deal.
Except for one thing, unless grandma's paying for the cruise and takes the entire family on a multi-generational excursion.
I will tell you that one crew member from a cruise line told me that Christmas was the hardest time of the year for them because they got the dysfunctional families. They got the ones who were trying to avoid the holiday. So I would take that.
Wait a minute. Is there any other kind of family than a dysfunctional family? Can we be honest here?
Frankly,
come on.
I can't think of one that I know.
Okay. You see, that's why I hate Thanksgiving, because it's an obligatory, dysfunctional family get-together. Why do that to yourself? I know. Hey, stay with us, Carolyn. When we come back, I want to talk about whether you can actually get bumped from your cruise. We'll be back with more of Carolyn Spencer Brown from CruiseCritic.com from the University of Delaware in Newark. Peter Greenberg here, back with more after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
43 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here, coming to you from Wilmington, Delaware, but we're actually in Newark, Delaware, but that's okay. We'll talk about that later. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. We've been talking with Carolyn Spencer-Brown, the editor-in-chief of CruiseCritic.com, and asking the question, can you get bumped from your cruise? Well, can you?
You absolutely can get bumped, and basically you can get bumped for a bunch of reasons, but the most enticing reason to get bumped is because the cruise line oversells the ship, and when they oversell the ship, they have more passengers than they have beds. They can be quite generous, and you can get twice or three times as better a deal than you would have paid for if you're willing to be flexible.
All right, so give me an idea of where that happens. I mean, on what time of the year that happens.
What it happens is when their revenue folks get it wrong and they don't anticipate demand. And we had a great funny experience on Cruise Critic where on Oceania somebody got bumped, and whoever bumped them was a little bit callous about it and said, "You don't have a choice, you're bumped," which they really never should do. You should always have a choice. And
Wait a minute. The airlines do that every day.
Well, the cruise lines are a little bit nicer than the airlines, I got to tell you.
Okay, go ahead.
So this family got bumped, and it was a really big deal, and they were really upset, and they wrote about it on the boards, and Frank Del Rio, the president of Oceania, happened to just kind of read it because he reads the boards, and he was so horrified that he went overboard to fix them up, but they actually did get to go on that cruise. So if your cruise line calls you and says, "Hey, we are offering to bump you," listen to them. If you can be a little bit flexible, you can really, really get a steal.
Although, if you read the standard cruise line contract, what does it say? They have the right to bump you without any compensation beyond refunding the cost of the cruise.
Right, but they won't do it. They're not, I mean, come on, they're not, they can, that's the legalese, but they're not stupid. And that's exactly what happened with Oceania. That's the tone that Oceania rep guy took. And boy, did that blow up in their face. So,
well, I remember a great story. Talk about getting bumped. I remember a great story about a cruise line where there was a woman who for years, and I mean years, her husband died years ago, left her all the money in the world. She said, "Well, you know, I'm just going to move to the ship." So she was a full-time resident of the Queen Elizabeth II.
Yes, and she's gone now, I think. Not gone, but she's not on the ship. Sorry.
Well, the ship, well, one thing at a time.
Yeah.
But when the ship finally retired, what are we going to do with her? And they finally worked out a deal. In fact, when the ship went into dry dock at one point, they let her stay on the ship.
Yep. She's
stayed on the ship during dry dock.
There's a Regent Seven Seas person on year-round, and there's a princess person who's on year-round. And they basically just have a cabin all the time. They might go travel and come back. It's like having a little bit – it's like the residency, you know, that condo ship that goes around.
Sure.
But the other thing I wanted to say about bumping that's really important, there's different kinds of bumping. So when a cruise line is actually oversold itself, it's going to be more generous. If a cruise line decides, like Celebrity did, that all of a sudden, you know, Baltimore is not what it is exciting as Australia, and we're going to take the ship out that we're already selling out of Baltimore, and we're going to move it to Australia, it has to recompensate a whole ship full of passengers in several voyages, they're going to be a little bit more tight about that one.
Yeah, unless you want to go to Australia.
Yeah, but they're not paying for you to go to Australia.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah, and of course, the one thing you need to know is if you're out at sea and there's an act of God, a weather incident, a storm, a political situation where they have to bypass a port, that gets interesting too, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It can get so interesting that I was actually on a princess cruise in Asia where we hit two typhoons and we missed about 4 points in a row, and the passengers literally mutinied. They threw the cruise director off the stage. That one guy went up with a Google map to the bridge to tell the captain that he was going in the wrong direction. It was really an odd situation. It certainly wasn't the cruise I had anticipated, but it was a lot more interesting as a result.
Wait a minute. I love this audience participation part. They threw the cruise director off the stage.
They
is there
did.
Video? Is there video of this? I want to see that.
And they got mad, and they all booed him off the stage, and some lawyer guy came up and started telling everybody how to gather in the lobby, and we were gonna have action. They had to threaten. Princess had to threaten to have police come on in Beijing to get rid of passengers because they said they were going to have a sit-in.
Well, you know, if you have police come on in Beijing, that's a threat I would take seriously.
I think I wouldn't even go that far, honestly, saying.
Yeah, they're not coming on to ask what kind of food you want.
The last thing in the world you want is to get in trouble with the police in China, honestly.
Unbelievable. So whatever happened, you have to give me the end of the story.
The end of the story was people kind of just walked off very meekly and made such a fuss. They made such a fuss about it. But that's the bottom line, and especially this time of year. In Asia as well, I mean, you could run into typhoons and storms, and you just have to be a little bit flexible because a cruise is a ship. It's not a hotel.
You know, for me, anytime I'm on a 7-day cruise and they want to miss three ports, I'm happy because I don't want to go to those ports anyway. I don't want to buy a straw hat and another T-shirt I don't need. I'd just be on the ship and just relax.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think sometimes that's what cruise lines are banking on because they build these big ships with so much stuff to do on them, there's not enough time to play.
I know. It's called onboard revenue, a subject for another discussion. Carolyn Spencer-Brown from CruiseCritic.com. Always a great job. Carolyn, thanks for joining us. And when we come back, Delaware in a way you didn't know about it, but you're going to find out. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Travel Guard Insurance. For travel insurance plans for the unexpected, see your travel agent or visit TravelGuard.com for affordable travel insurance protection from Travel Guard.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
52 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg with you here in Wilmington, Delaware. Of course, we're outside of Wilmington right now at the University of Delaware campus in Newark. But as I said earlier in the show, when we were talking with the governor about how many people really don't know very much about Delaware. They don't understand the history here, other than that fact it was one of the you know, the early colonies and ratified the Constitution, et cetera, et cetera. But if you just go about 18 feet away from anything in Delaware, you see history. And one of the places you want to go is Winterthur. And joining me now, someone who knows a little bit about that, is author and historian Maggie Litz. Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
So tell me about Winterthur, because we actually featured it in a story that I recently did. It's amazing. I mean, it's like Antique Roadshow on steroids. I mean, it's really what it is.
Yeah, it's an amazing place. I've been there about 10 years, and I mean, truthfully, I'm always learning new things. Somebody's always telling me something I hadn't known before.
And, of course, all roads lead to DuPont, the DuPont family.
At Winterthur and most other nonprofit institutions in Delaware.
But that was their place, wasn't it?
It was. It was one of the, you know.
Well, one of their many places.
One of the family's very big, and it was a particular branch. It's the Henry Francis DuPont. And his father was Henry Algernon, so it's the Henry branch there.
Well, I'm glad we specified that. But, I mean, what makes that such a special place to visit?
frankly, it's, you know, it's the time period that was built to me. If we look at 18th and 19th century furniture there, it's one of the best collections, or if not the best collection of 18th and 19th century American decorative art.
I mean, when you think about it, if you're not at the American wing of the Metropolitan Museum of Art, you go to Winterthur.
And the thing is, it's not the National Gallery or the American wing. It's set in 1,000 acres. It's absolutely beautiful. It was once a private home. Those other
wait,
places.
Say that once again. 1,000 acres.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
It's beautiful.
One of the few places in America they have it subdivided.
And it's all under easement, so it won't ever be subdivided.
All right, so you have tremendous history there, all the decorative arts as well. Explain what you're going to see, though.
Well, I mean, one of the things that most people come there go to see is the garden. It's a 60-acre garden. It was developed through the lifetime of one man, and that is in itself very unusual in the United States. I mean,
but they didn't just do gardens. They did farms.
He had 20 working farms, and each was devoted to a specific purpose. So he had
within the 1,000 acres.
Well, it was actually more than 2,000 when we had all the farms.
Wow. Any working farms still today?
We have we work with another nonprofit, and we have sheep being raised there.
All right. So lamb is for dinner? Is that the deal?
They're for wool.
You're sure?
That's what they tell me.
Unsuspecting sheep? No, okay. But nothing, no farm to table stuff anymore.
No, but you know what? We'd love to do that someday.
You should. You got the space.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and we have been doing a little bit of things like herbs, tomatoes. We have been serving some of our local produce that we're growing on the property.
If you wanted to tour just the public gardens, how long would that take you to do that?
It depends on how much time you want to spend there. It takes a half an hour to really walk the main loop of the garden, but you can easily get off that loop, wander in different areas. It's about 60 acres you can go through. So it could be a whole morning if you enjoy walking and looking at gardens.
But if you're looking at Winterthur as not just a single entity, but also as the hub of an entire family that shaped this area, I mean, that is quite a legacy.
It is an amazing legacy, and that's what led me to write the book, DuPont's Houses and Gardens on the Brandywine. I was trying to figure out
what... Brandywine is the river, of course.
The Brandywine is the river, and we call the Brandywine River Valley,
right,
the area.
But there's still a river. I was over there, and I watched it go by.
Oh, yeah. And people, do, what is it called, tires? You can float with tires on it. And
it's called an inner tube.
Inner tube, right. Thank you.
I'm going to help you out.
Good. Yes, you can inner tube on
you those round things they fill with air?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, right. But the thing is, this one family, I mean, the tentacles of this one family just shaped this entire city's history.
Yeah. I don't think there's another place in the United States that has been dominated by one family for such a long period of time.
And in so many ways.
In so many ways.
I mean, yes, they were making munitions. Yes, they were doing chemicals. Yes, they were involved in all the war efforts. They were, right? And,
right.
And they still have tours where they even blow up gunpowder, even now.
Well, for a long time, the DuPont Company was really the only game in town. And then it became diversified later. But then what's sort of interesting in the period, I'm mostly interested in the period before World War II and what you can see about that today. But before World War II, the DuPont Company dominated the industry in this area. And if people who worked here in Delaware weren't working in the DuPont Company, they were probably working for a DuPont family member. And that's pretty interesting.
So the moral of that story is don't piss off the DuPonts.
Maybe in Delaware.
Well, that's the state. How long did it take you to write the book?
2 years.
Wow. What's the most surprising thing you learned in the writing of that book?
The most surprising thing? I think the end of it, to me, was the most surprising thing because I can't drive around this area without all of a sudden recognizing these pieces of history. Before I wrote the book, I didn't see that. And right now, every time I drive around, I see something new revealed.
And the moral of that story, of course, is when you go to Delaware, take nothing for granted because chances are it's historic.
That's probably true.
All right. Maggie Litz. And the author of the book's name is?
DuPont. Oh, my name?
No, Maggie, you got the Maggie Litz name out. What's the name of the book, Maggie?
DuPont's. The DuPont's. Houses and Gardens on the Brandywine.
And you're absolutely correct, and you win nothing for that answer. That music means you're out of time for this hour. For those stations leaving us, have a great rest of your Labor Day weekend. For those stations sticking around, we got a whole lot more coming from Wilmington, Delaware, or if you really want to be specific, Newark, the home of the University of Delaware campus. And we'll be back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after this.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com. Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful Labor Day weekend wherever you happen to be. You know where we are? We'll be living on airplanes, of course, but this time we didn't take a plane to get here. No, we did the smart thing. We took the train. Get out your maps, boys and girls. 39 degrees, 41 minutes north, 75 degrees, 45 minutes west. We are in Newark, Delaware. And if you don't know where that is, it's not far from Wilmington. And a place where we actually shot something for my website, which you can check out on petergreenberg.com. Great location. And for those people who don't realize it, Delaware actually exists. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's a state that most of my friends fly over and don't understand it. It's got so much to offer. No, it doesn't have a national park. It's got 17 great state parks and a whole lot more than that. Tremendous history, as a matter of fact. And we'll be talking about that throughout the show. If you can't get on the phones, you can always email me to peter at petergreenberg.com. If you can get on the phones, it's 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And, again, I will always encourage you to go to our website, petergreenberg.com, for a comprehensive list of all the aid and relief organizations doing all that hard and essential work in Chile and Haiti and Western China and, of course, most recently in the Gulf. A lot of places and organizations that are open to you, not just to donate money, but to get actively, physically involved and get down there and practice the volunteer vacations that I am preaching. It's the best gift you can actually give yourself. If you're like me, you know, especially on a weekend like this, you're a gadget freak. I'm a gadget geek, but I'm also a gadget dinosaur. I love things when they work. Don't ask me how they work. But the person who knows all that, of course, is one of our regulars on PeterGreenberg.com. He's Phil Baker, who's a weekly columnist on From Concept to Consumer. And, you know, when you go on a road trip, and this weekend is all about road trips, it's all about GPS, but there are GPSs and then there are GPSs. Right, Phil?
That's right, Peter. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. So, I mean, you know, I get in rental cars and I now always ask. I'm such a slave to them now. I won't rent a car without a GPS. And most of the time, the GPSs that the rental car companies are giving you, they actually work pretty well.
You know, they're not bad. And I did, my wife and I did a 3,500-mile driving vacation. We just got back. We went from San Diego, where we live, all the way up to Vancouver. And I took along three different GPS units. And, you know, one was in the Toyota. It was a 2009 Toyota Highlander. The other was a Garmin 1690, which was one of their latest models. And then I took along a Droid X, which is an Android phone that has built-in navigation, similar to all the Droid phones. And you know what I found?
Go ahead, tell me.
The less you pay, the more you get.
You're kidding me. Tell me more.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Don't tell me. I'm surprised to hear that.
Well, you know, part of the problem with GPSs is when you, particularly when you're going into new areas, is you want to put in the destination. And with a Toyota, you have to find an address for where you're going. You've got to put the city in, the street in. If you don't have the wrong number, it gives you an error. It's just very complicated. And the database is not, you know, on an automobile, you have to spend $100, $200 a year to update it to the latest database. And so the Garmin worked a lot better because it had a more up-to-date database and it updates automatically. But, you know, the Android uses Google, so you don't even have to put an address. You say, I want to go to BJ's restaurant in Vancouver, and it finds the address, it finds the location, and, you know, as you start typing out the name of the restaurant, it shows up, and you push a button, and there you have it. So you it's real easy to find where you're going, and then the map and the routing comes up very quickly. And
Well, you know what I found interesting about what you wrote is that You know, when I run a car from Hertz, for example, I get their never loss system, which I'm addicted to. I just love it. And in fact, I liked it so much, I went out and bought one for my car. I actually bought the Hertz never loss system in my car. And what I love about it is not only does the new one, give you advanced trip planning, but if you make a mistake, it tells you how to correct the mistake. What you wrote in your story was that you went down the wrong way on a street in the Toyota, and the GPS in the Toyota didn't even know what to do.
Right. Well, the Toyota GPS is not as good as many other automotive GPS systems, so I wouldn't characterize all of them as badly as it. But on the Toyota, for example, it won't let you make a U-turn. You know, I think the lawyers got to them and put a lot of restrictions on it because.
Well, I understand the new Toyota, they won't let you put your foot on the pedal. Okay, I was joking.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think maybe the same engineers did the GPS as did the brake pedal software, but. You know, so you go along and you're going the wrong direction, but they refuse to tell you to make a U-turn because there was no place to make a U-turn. So
no, you see, on the Toyota, making a U-turn is considered impolite in the Japanese culture.
It's impolite, that's right. You have to go around the world, you know, to get to where you're going.
You see, what I want, Phil, is I want a GPS system that insults you. I want Don Rickles on the voice of my GPS. I want you hockey puck, you know, I think it would be entertaining, don't you? I'm amazed Billy hasn't come up with a GPS that insults you.
You know, the Garmin phone, which is an Android phone, allows you to put in your own voice or any voice of anyone you want for the instructions.
Well, that's great. Although I love the ones where you can actually get the foreign voice, like the British voice says, "Oh, you just really screwed up. Really, that's too bad.
Right.
You lost." You know, I mean,
you feel
better about it when it's in a British accent. That's been my experience. All right, so
the
winner.
The directions are more accurate when they're in British accent.
So basically, under your test driving, the guy who wins is the Android phone, which is the less money that you, because you don't have to buy the car along with it.
That's right, and the Android application you have to buy the phone, but the application is free.
And, not bad.
You know, it's probably the main one of the big advantages over an iPhone, which does not have directions. You can buy software. You can buy an iPad app for about $50 to get that same functionality.
All right, now let's shift gears for a second, every pun intended, and go beyond the GPS to the onboard entertainment. You had a Sirius or you had XM in the car. Did you like it or not?
I did. It was fine, but you know, I was surprised driving up through the wooded area in Oregon and Washington. You know, sometimes you don't get reception. It doesn't capture the satellite signal.
Well, guess what?
So
they haven't had reception there since 1700.
You know,
what are you talking about?
Receiving it.
I know, but they haven't had reception there for decades.
Well, that may be. I've never been there. So,
well, now you know. Now you know. Okay, now you've experienced that. But when you did get reception, you liked it.
I did. It was great. And, you know, one thing, I have a MiFi card, which is it's a Wi-Fi card that, creates a hotspot. It connects to the phone cellular service. And what I was able to do is listen to radio stations far away by just streaming them over the MiFi card and so I could listen to radio stations anywhere around the world
driving. That's the cool thing. When you come back, I want to talk about, when we get you back on the show, I want to talk about Slingbox. That's still my favorite little gadget about watching TV anywhere you are in the world, about any show you want to see. That's Phil Baker. Of course, you can read him on our website, petergreenberg.com, and you can also check him out from concept to consumer. Phil Baker, thanks for joining us. When we come back, our good pal Chris McGinnis, and Chris is going to talk about, well, his trip with Carly Simon. Go figure. Back right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour on this August weekend, coming to you from the Hotel Grand Duca in Houston, Texas. Taking your calls 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER, and if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com. with your name, phone number, question, or problem so we can solve it right here on the air. And one housekeeping note, I encourage you to visit our website, petergreenberg.com, for a comprehensive list of all the aid and relief organizations doing all that hard but essential work in Haiti and Chile and Western China, still recovering from their earthquakes, and of course, in the Gulf. Just because they capped the well doesn't mean the work is over. The work is just getting started. So please go to that list on our website so you can see how you can actually get physically, actively, intelligently involved. It's more than just donating $10 on your phone, although that's a great idea. Let's face it, the Red Cross raised over $40 million for Haitian relief. But we're talking about a rebuilding effort just in Haiti that's going to take at least 10 years. They need all the help they can get. And just because it's not on your front page or the front page of your newspaper or leading the evening news doesn't mean it's not on our front page. So I encourage you to please do the best thing you can do for yourself by doing the best thing you can do for them and go to the website and see how you can help. Shifting gears here for a little bit, our next guest, a regular on our show, Sean O'Neill from BudgetTravel.com. Great ideas for the summer. It's not over yet. In fact, by the way, let me just make this decree. Summer's not over till I say it's over, and it ain't over. And in fact, there's some great places you can go to that you've never heard about, and Sean's got that list. I love this list, Sean, the best places you've never heard of. I love it.
Great. It's very hard for someone who's as well-traveled as you to sort of surprise you on the list. I don't know if any of these were places you've never heard of.
Actually, I must admit, there were a couple. So why don't you just go down them and wow us all.
Okay. Bin, Switzerland is one of the places that really was recommended by a guy named Greg Witt for this story. We went out and interviewed people who travel professionally for a living as part of their jobs. And Greg is an operator of a hiking guide service who is crossed the Swiss countryside since 1986. And his favorite place there is a town called Binn. The local residents made a pact not to have the kind of overdevelopment that's caused a lot of ski resorts and other towns to sort of be more like Disneyland instead of an authentic village. And so here, you know, when you're crossing the 16th century stone bridge and passing under this, a gorgeous alpine mountain and seeing these little ski chalets and goats and hikers, you're really experiencing the real thing.
I love it. Ben, I'd actually heard about what I love about it. It's one of the places in Switzerland, and we've done the show from Switzerland a couple of times over the last couple of years, and I have to say that in many of those cities, they haven't succumbed to that overdevelopment, and I'm glad to hear there's another one.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked to a lot of celebrities as well. We talked to Andrew Zimmern, who is the host of the Bizarre Foods show on the Travel Channel. And his favorite place in all of his travels around the world was the Westman Islands of Iceland. He was just really charmed that most people, when they visit Iceland, they go to Reykjavik and they just sort of do a one-day little tour. And if you're willing to venture out a 20-minute flight from Reykjavik on an $80 round-trip ticket, you can go to this tiny island called Heimaey. It's sort of in this wild volcanic archipelago. It looks a little bit like you're on the moon. The fish is delicious. The locals are really friendly, and you can see some great sheer cliffs and killer whales.
I will tell you this. The best salmon I've ever eaten was in Iceland.
How about that? Wow.
Yeah, it's great.
Must be incredibly fresh.
Now, listen, you got one on your list that I know very well, and people just pass over this place. I'm a big fan of Nova Scotia, and I'm a big fan of Newfoundland, and you've got Trinity, Canada on that list.
That's right. A freelance travel writer who's worked for Sherman's and Condé Nast Travel and has traveled to 50 countries. He really liked in Newfoundland this town called Trinity. It's a little bit of a gem because on this three-hour drive in along the coast, you see this historic harbor town. It only has a population of 350 people with these wonderful colored wooden houses along the craggy lifts and rolling hills. You see the occasional bald eagle floating overhead. It really is, he says in his words, magical.
And I have to tell you, people don't realize this is actually the site for the book, The Shipping News.
Yes, which is, it gives it sort of like an added sort of novelistic resonance. And for people who saw the movie, it gives them sort of you can feel like you're walking on the set.
As an aside, I have to say, and I apply this to almost the entire country of Canada.
It is never given its proper respect by Americans.
It is such
a great destination. And most of the Canadians I know, you know, you go to Halifax and half the people there apologize for Halifax. They have nothing to apologize for. It's phenomenal. And then you go northeast of Halifax, up the coast to Cape Breton. It's unbelievable. The whole coast, the drives around New Brunswick, unbelievable. And Americans don't think of Canada as a sexy destination. Boy, are they wrong.
They are so wrong. And I was lucky enough growing up that my parents really did appreciate Canada. I was able to see a lot of ships. I haven't explored the western region much, but that's on my to-do list for the fall.
Now, one of the other ones on your list is a place I've actually been to as well, and I've done it because I've driven all the way down the coast of Chile to a little place called Puerto Montt. And then from there, you get out there and see some of the most incredible hotels and lodges in the fjords. And you mentioned one called Lago Todos Los Santos.
That's right. A BBC producer has spent the past 20 years shooting all those amazing videos of animals up close in the Komodo archipelago and often the Corfu. Of all the places he's traveled, the prettiest location was this lake, Todos Los Santos. It is a perfectly symmetrical 8,700-foot volcano, Osorno, that's drawn comparisons to Mount Fuji in Japan. And it's overlooking this gorgeous chute-type waterfalls and just beautiful foliage along this crystal clear blue lake. And he said it was the most peaceful place he's ever been in. And obviously, like you say, there's a lot to do around the surrounding area. There's a lot of gorgeous hotels.
Well, you know, what's great about Chile, and if you look at the map, this little string bean of a country has got everything. it's got the driest desert in the world up north, the Atacama. It's got the incredible seacoast. There's a wonderful little city, a little village there called La Serena, right on the Pacific. It's got the Lake District of Santiago, right outside of Santiago, which is just phenomenal. And then you haven't even started heading south yet. Now you're having fun when you get to Puerto Montt and all the way down to, of course, way down south, all the way down to the fjords.
It's hard to pick a favorite country in South America, and I've been to only seven of them, but I would definitely say Chile is my favorite by far. It's just, I don't know what it is about the people, it sort of resonates very well. And the scenery is just, it's something completely different than what you see in North America.
I mean, you know, if you can get outside the big cities in South America, boy, you're in such a treat because, you know, get outside of Sao Paulo, which is nuts, and Rio, which is, you know, there's only so much you can tolerate, the party atmosphere, and go north in Brazil, and you go up to a place called Fernando de Noronha, which has more spinner dolphins and turtles than people, or Bahia or Salvador. All of northern Brazil is just so amazing. Same thing with Argentina. Go outside of Buenos Aires and go out to the Estancias. Go out, you know, go up the river, and then, of course, go to western Argentina to Mendoza. Those are for the wine country. And the same thing about Chile. Those are my three favorites. Okay, look, you got one more for me, I know.
Yes, I do. Well, maybe on that note, perhaps you'll be able to be one of our guest experts for next year. You can give one of those tips to our readers. We would love that. Michael Biero wrote a book called Party Across America, and he traveled across the country seven times to go to 100 different festivals. But the place that he's been around the world that he most likes is Dürnstein, Austria. It's just everything that you imagine from a sound of music movie of what you imagine Austria to be like is in this great castle. Fortress town.
And you know what's interesting about Vienna and Austria is, once again, you go to Vienna, there's only so much stuff you can do Mitschlag. You know, I mean, everything is with, oh my God. You know, that's a heart attack in a bottle. I mean, everything you order there comes Mitschlag, which means with cream. And if it's not that, you're going to Grinzing outside of Vienna and it's just beer time all the time. The cool thing is to get outside of Vienna and then see places like Dürnstein, or take the hydrofoil all the way down the Danube to Hungary, to Budapest.
Yeah, and I think river cruises, they've been growing like 20% year over year in Europe for the past few years, despite the recession. And like you say, I highly recommend to anyone who's interested in exploring some of the countries destinations beyond Paris and London and Rome to take a river cruise through that part of Central Europe. It's just a wonderful find. You'll see stop in a castle fortress town or then a winding cobblestone streets with the window flower boxes and the red-tiled roofs, and it's just utterly charming, and the great vineyards with fresh wine, Grüner Veltliner in Austria.
The only caveat I got to tell you about the Danube, it ain't blue. Sorry, guys. In any case, That's our friend Sean O'Neill from BudgetTravel.com. Thanks, Sean. We really appreciate all the best places you've never heard of. Up next, you think art can't be fun? It can be outrageous. Back with more from the Hotel Grand Duca right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here in Delaware, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right on the air. Having been to Delaware for a long, long time, and I try to come back as often as I can, I'm still always amazed by, not by what I experience, but what my friends don't know about Delaware. And earlier on the show, we were talking to the governor about the same exact thing, about people don't really get to Delaware. They might drive through it, or they take the train. You get a lot of regional traffic, but for most of my friends who live west of the Hudson River, they fly over it, they don't get it. And they don't realize the history here and the culture here. And who better to know that, of course, than the Director of Cultural Affairs. I love that title.
Me too.
I know. Tina Metz. Hey, Tina.
Hi, Peter.
I mean, I'm one of those guys who embraces the notion that if it's in the brochure, I don't want to know about it.
Right.
So share with me if you can. This is the perfect ask the locals kind of question for you, mm-hmm. right? Because we're right outside of Wilmington right now.
Right.
What about Wilmington don't I know that I need to know that's not in the brochure?
Well, you know, there's a little bit of everything in Wilmington, and you're right. A lot of people will go through or on their way to some of the largest cities on the East Coast, Philadelphia, Baltimore, New York. In Wilmington, we like to say that we are in the middle of it all, and that's because geographically we are in the middle of, many of the largest cities on the East Coast. What people will find when they come here is that everything that you can find in those larger cities, you can find right in Wilmington,
Delaware. But it's more manageable.
It's much more manageable. We are a very friendly city. It's an inexpensive city, and I'm sure the governor mentioned that we have no sales tax in the state of Delaware.
You want to know something? He didn't mention that. You just did.
Well, I just did. There is no sales tax in the state of Delaware. So when you come to Wilmington, Delaware, or any other fine cities in the state of Delaware, you will find that you can buy things, and the price that you see on the price tag is the price that you pay.
I'm liking that.
That's one of the big advantages about coming to.
See, if you live in New York, once every, decade, they'll say, okay, for this weekend, no sales tax, just for this weekend.
Well, Peter, for every weekend in the state of Delaware, in the city of Wilmington, there is no sales tax.
Not bad.
Yeah, so that's one of the many things that people may not realize, but it makes a big difference.
And most people discover that by accident.
Yeah, most people do. I mean, there are people who come and they're very, very surprised when they get their bill that it's what they saw on their price tag.
Does that include restaurant tabs?
Yes, it does. It includes restaurant tabs also.
See, the biggest ripoff at most restaurants is when they total your bill, then they give you the sales tax above that, and then they leave a space for the tip. So if you're tipping 20%, you're not tipping 20% on the bill. You're tipping 20% on the bill plus the sales tax.
Well, you don't have to worry about that when you come to Wilmington, Delaware.
Which means you can tip bigger here. I was helping you out there.
We like that. We like that. You know, in addition to that, you know, we have, of course, world-class museums in a Delaware Art Museum, the Delaware Center for the Contemporary Arts. Our hotels are wonderful. We have the beautiful DuPont Hotel
Wilmington. That hotel is worth just taking a tour of the hotel.
That's exactly right.
So they brought me into the ballroom and just showed me the chandeliers and the artwork on the ceiling and the wall. Unbelievable.
It's an incredible thing for folks to do when they take the opportunity to stop on their way through to other places in the city of Wilmington, Delaware. One of the other things that we've been doing for almost a quarter of a century in Wilmington, Delaware, is the DuPont Clifford Brown Jazz Festival. It's one of the largest jazz festivals on the East Coast, and although we get thousands of people who come here every year just for that festival. They plan their vacations around it. They stay the entire week of the week-long festival. There are still many people who don't know about it.
Farmers markets.
We have a farmers market.
See, that's the coolest thing going. For me, anytime I go to a city, there are two things I visit. the volunteer fire department, because I'm a volunteer fireman, and I got to check out a farmer's market, because that's where I want to go eat.
Well, during the summertime, we have a farmer's market right in downtown Wilmington in Rodney Square. That's become a favorite of many of the locals, and we hope that there are other people like you who, when they're in town, will discover the farmer market, farmer's market every Wednesday in Wilmington.
Okay, what's the biggest secret going there?
Well, one of our newest festivals is the Fringe Wilmington Festival. And as you know, I'm sure you know, over 50 years ago, Edinburgh, Scotland started this new thing called an alternative arts festival. And for the second year in the city of Wilmington, we will be having our Fringe Wilmington Festival.
For the second year?
For the second year.
So you survived the first year?
Oh, absolutely, we survived the first year. We're very hardy souls in the city of Wilmington.
Okay, what's the fringiest thing about the Fringe Festival?
The fact that it's happening in the city of Wilmington, I think, is the fringiest things. I mean, one of the things that we like to say is that, you know, every now and then it's just fun to color outside of the lines on purpose. And that's exactly what we'll be doing this year.
And what will you be wearing for this festival?
It's always a surprise. You know, there were people who saw the promotional material for last year's festival, and I'm still, you know, people are still talking about it.
You're still recovering from that.
Well, they are. They are still recovering from it. Yeah, I recovered from it as soon as I took the costume off, so I'm cool.
So you get the history, you get the culture, and then for the second annual
Fringe Wilmington Festival. So we have lots of things.
And that's coming up later this month.
Coming up later this month, September 29th through October 3rd.
Are you going to tell me what you're going to wear?
No, I'm not. You have to come to the Fringe Wilmington Festival to experience everything, including what it is that I will be wearing.
I value my career.
I know you do. That's why we hope we'll see you back in Wilmington.
Which means I have to come in a disguise costume.
That would be just fine.
All right. Tina Betts, the cultural director right here in Wilmington. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks for talking about that.
Wasn't that easy now?
That was wonderful. Thank you.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk to you on the phone, take your emails, and answer all your questions. All you fringies out there, call in 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. Back with more from Delaware, Wilmington, and Newark. We're going to get it all in one capsule here. Back right after this.
Now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
43 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here coming to you from the state of Delaware, Wilmington, or Newark, depending on how far you want to travel between these two places, all about 25 minutes. Taking your calls, 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, just email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. Let's go right to the phones. We got Barbara on the phone. Hey, Barbara.
Hello.
How can I help you today?
Well, I was wondering what you can tell me about an airline called XL Airways.
Well, I know about XL Airways. They're based over in Europe. They're in France, actually.
Right.
And where do you want to take them?
From New York to Paris.
Okay. Well, they don't have a lot of frequency. You know that.
Right.
They're probably operating one flight a day and maybe not every day of the week. They're a relatively new airline. And the good news about it is if they're – and I should also ask you when you want to fly with them.
Mid-September.
All right. Well, mid-September, the planes won't be full, so that's even better. The only thing I would caution you about is their frequency of service, and they have no interline agreements. They have no code share agreements, so that means if for whatever reason their plane doesn't operate that day, you don't go anywhere that day.
What would that do to a ticket that I bought?
What that means is you'd go the next day.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you don't lose the ticket; you lose a day.
Mm-hmm.
Or if the plane isn't flying every day that week, you go when the next time that plane flies. So that's the only caveat I'd throw in your way. Okay.
Oh, okay, but you don't know anything in particular about safety or solvency or anything like that.
Well, let's talk about two issues right now. Safety, right now, we are still enjoying one of our best periods of airline safety in 10 years. Even when we've had
serious accidents as recently as the one in Colombia where the 737 slid in the runway. We only had one fatality. It's been remarkable. So safety is not really a problem if you're just going by the numbers. Solvency, on the other hand, is always an issue with the airline business because if you're an airline, sooner or later you're going to become insolvent. that's the name of the game. But right now, I have not seen anything or read any financial reports on XL that would indicate to me that they're going to cease operating before you fly.
Okay, well, that sounds pretty comforting.
All right, Barbara, we appreciate the call.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we got an email here from Chris who goes, can I recommend a good river cruise for Christmas markets? Well, the interesting thing about the Christmas markets in Europe and the interesting thing about cruising on the rivers in Europe is that you're going along a waterway where these cities really started growing up. That's how commerce got started. So the Christmas markets in these towns are phenomenal, and most people don't realize you can take cruises in the wintertime. You can. There are four-night cruises on the Danube. EuroRiverCruises.com is one. And one that I've taken many times, in fact, we broadcast from them, Viking River Cruise. We broadcast with Viking River on the in Budapest, and we also did Viking River in China. But they've got a European winter sojourn, which goes from Budapest all the way down to Passau, and that's a 10-day cruise. But the bottom line is they're both great because you're traveling the river at a very slow speed. If anybody gets seasick on a river cruise, they're watching a bad movie. I mean, you're not going to get seasick. And you go at a very slow pace, which is great because you're seeing a place the way it was meant to be seen. It's not crowded. There are no tour buses there. You're literally going to places that are mostly only accessible by the river on the old commercial routes. So those would be my two recommendations, Chris. I hope that's helpful. We've got an email from Molly who doesn't really have a question as much as she wants to vent. She says, why are we the ones paying an $85 fee to check our bags while these other folks stuff all their gear into the overhead bins for free? Well, just ask the JetBlue flight attendant that question. She says, this seems bass-ackwards to me. They should be paying the fee. Well, if you were logical, I'm talking about the airlines, Molly, not you, but if you were logical, the answer is you're right. Because after all, why would you want to pay a fee to have the airlines lose your bags, destroy your bags, delay your bags, and cost you 2.5 hours of your life every time you travel? Now, if you'd understand the difference between what portable and transportable means and the fact that just because your bag has wheels on it doesn't mean you can put it on the overhead compartment. I've seen people try to stuff their dead grandmother or stuffed moose and anything else. I saw somebody try to put a drive shaft of a BMW in the overhead rack. I mean, enough already. However, hopefully common sense will prevail, and you'll do what I do. Don't pay the fee and don't put any bags in the overhead compartment. I courier my bags. I haven't checked a bag in over 8 years. There are two kinds of airline bags, carry-on and lost. I've said it before. I'll say it again. And for about $10 more than what the airlines want to charge me to lose my bags, I do door-to-door service. I save 2.5 hours of my life. And guess what? When I get to where I'm going, guess where my bag is? Either in my room or at my door. You can't beat that. So for me, I mean, you want to vent, Molly? It's a perfect vent for me. Nobody should pay the fee, and nobody should check any bags, and nobody should actually carry on any bags. Just courier the bags. I'll thank you. The FedEx company and UPS will thank you. But guess what? For $10 more than you're going to spend to lose bags and spend 2.5 hours of your life, you eliminate all that. We'll be back with more from Delaware right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is brought to you by
Travel Guard. Visit travelguard.com/unlucky. Tell us what makes you the world's unluckiest traveler, and you could win a $10,000 dream vacation. Brought to you by Travel Guard.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
52 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you in Delaware, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. You know, there's some people who want to stay at a great hotel. There's some people who want a history lesson. If you stay at the Hotel DuPont in Wilmington, you get both, especially the history lesson, I have to tell you. I mean, just every 10 feet, there's another story to be told there. And joining me now is somebody who's going to tell that story from a different perspective, otherwise known as the kitchen, the executive chef there, Keith Miller. Hey, Keith.
Hi, how are you?
You have a prediction to make, I believe? Come on, be bold.
In my sound check, I said the Eagles would win the Super Bowl this year, and he's going to hold me to it.
Are we going to make a bet?
If it's for food. I have no money.
Well, I appreciate the full disclosure. Well, let's talk about the food before we talk about the misguided bet you just made. Bottom line is, when I talk about history, that also applies to the cuisine here. I mean, yes. If you want traditional American cuisine, what is that?
Well,
especially in Delaware.
In Delaware. Well, around in Delaware, crab, steaks, seafood is certainly the king. In the green room, 20 years ago, it was probably more traditional French. Now we're more contemporary American with French accents.
But when I talk about the historic American cuisine, starting with seafood, you've got the oysters.
Yes.
But it's also in the preparation.
Yes.
So how do you do that?
Well,
to maintain that kind of, the whole history of it, I mean, the whole culture of it.
Well, you often have to ask yourself, who was the first one to try an oyster?
Somebody bold enough to bet on the Eagles. Right. Yeah, go ahead.
But we treat them very lightly. We treat them with usually just shucked with a mignonette sauce. We have a little lemon caviar with it on this current menu. We don't try to do too much to it. Locals will do fried oysters, and they'll just do lightly breaded and fried, pan-fried.
My very first fried oyster was right here in Delaware.
Yeah. So they're very popular. They're very popular in firehouse dinners as well as in many restaurants, as well as in the green room.
All right. What other kinds of seafood in terms of simple preparation that goes back to the early days?
Back to the early days. Well, trout, rockfish, which is a local fish, the striped bass, shad roe. One of my first experiences starting out in the kitchen was learning to pan fry shad roe. First of all, if you have too much fat in the pan, you need to wear a visor and protective gear because they just blow up on you. So it was a learning lesson.
So you served the explosive shad roe at the hotel.
And they're traditionally served with a little caper butter and bacon, as well as with the planked shad. They would strap it down with metal bands or back in the old days with twine. And roasted over oak planks over an open fire.
The early colonists, of course, a lot of things were smoked, a lot of things were salted.
Correct.
Doing any kind of salted fish?
Not so much salted fish, but lightly cured. We still smoke our own salmon at the hotel.
Now, are you doing salmon or gravlax?
Well, we smoke our own salmon. We also do a cured gravlax, which is correct, which is no smoking. But we do our own at the Hotel DuPont. We lightly cure it for about 12 to 15 hours, and then you have to wash it off, let it dry, and it develops a pellicule, like a little film to it, and then we smoke it with applewood.
And then, of course, you serve it with a sort of like a honey mustard sauce?
Well, we do.
Or Dijon?
It's with mustard, capers, chopped egg yolk, chopped egg white, and brioche or rye bread and toast.
What's the most traditional dish you're serving there?
Probably around Thanksgiving time, traditional tom turkey with stuffing, gravy, usually some type of chestnut stuff.
You know, everybody wants to know about Thanksgiving, and I always tell them, look, why are you inviting your dysfunctional family over to ruin your house and get involved in an argument? Just go to a hotel because it's the one institution in your city that will serve a Thanksgiving dinner because they can't close.
That's correct, and the Green Room does that, and we do. That's our biggest holiday at the Green Room in the Hotel DuPont.
So you have a lot of dysfunctional people. I just want to make sure.
And we would like them all to come there.
Wearing their Eagles paraphernalia.
Of course.
Of course. Because by that time, they'll know already they're not even going to the playoffs. I just want to make sure you understand that.
I got to disagree with you, but I'm hoping for the best for the Eagles. They got a young club, and I'm hoping.
I know you're happy that Donovan McNabb is no longer there.
That's right. Out with the old, in with the new.
Okay. And who else do you have playing with you?
On the Eagles team?
Yeah. Well, you have the dog wrangler.
Well, he's the wildcatter now, and he's reformed. But we also have
really.
But we have a great offense. We have a very good offensive line, and I think the defense is going to show a lot of speed this year.
I cannot wait to call you in December. This is going to. What do I get if I win?
Dinner in the green room,
and not turkey. I want something really like special.
You can come for New Year's Eve.
No, that's another dysfunctional holiday.
Come the day after New Year's Eve when we're all...
Oh, yeah, when nobody's there and they're all lying around drunk. No, I'm not going to do that. What's the most difficult dish you prepare?
The most difficult dish?
Yes, in terms of preparation.
None of them are extremely difficult. The one that requires the most time is a study of duck because we do a duck breast, a duck confit, which is a slow cooking of duck in very low heat in duck fat. We also do a duck prosciutto, which we make from the breast as well. So it's a lot of advanced preparation and time in for that dish. And it's our second most favorite dish.
Cool. Well, listen, whether the Eagles win or lose, and by the way, the answer is going to be, you know what the answer is going to be. Come on, trust me.
You have to be wishful. You have to have that childlike innocence and hope for the best.
Really? Well, that was the childlike innocence of Executive Chef Keith Miller. By the way, check out the Green Room. Check out the Hotel DuPont. I'm telling you, it's a history lesson and some pretty great food. And if the Eagles win, what do you get?
You're going to buy me dinner in the Green Room.
Deal. We'll be back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after these messages. Eagles, please.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com. Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful Labor Day weekend wherever you happen to be. We happen to be not on an airplane for a while. We actually took trains to get here. What a lovely ride that was, and it was. Get your maps out, boys and girls. 39 degrees, 41 minutes north, 75 degrees, 45 minutes west. We are in Newark, Delaware. And if you don't know where that is, it's not far from Wilmington, Delaware. And we're taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We've been coming to Delaware, Delaware a lot over the last couple of months. Filmed a lot of fun videos here. About things that you didn't know about essentially hidden gems. All of Delaware, it might actually be argued, is a hidden gem because most of my friends fly over it. I liken it in a way to Wisconsin, where I went to school. Most of my friends have never been there either. And at least once a year, I try to drag four or five of them there. A little more difficult than getting to Delaware, because in Delaware, you just hop on a train and you're here in 2 hours, or maybe another hour from Washington, or two and a half from New York, or whatever it is. But it's, people are always amazed. They go, well, gee, I didn't know. Well, there's a lot of things you didn't know about Delaware. Otherwise, what you learned in your history books and when you were in second grade a long time ago. But bottom line is, it's full of surprises. And a little bit later on the show, we're going to talk about some of the great food places here in Delaware. And it's not all deep fried, which it was when I first came here. All the seafood in Delaware was fried. And if you want it double fried, you got double fried. Now they've gotten their act together in that department in a very, very good way. Let's go right to the phones. We got Bernadette calling from Oregon. Hey, Bernadette.
Hi.
How can I help you today?
Well, my husband and I are going to be traveling to Hawaii in about a month. We're going to Maui for a week, and then we're flying over to Kauai for a week. And I was trying to decide if we should try to make car rental reservations now, or if we should wait until a week or two before we get there, or if we just wait until we get there. So do you have any recommendations on
car rentals? I do. You don't want to wait until you get there. Because it's the rental car market there is somewhat inflexible. However, I don't like Priceline to book airline tickets, but I really do like Priceline to book rental cars, and I'll tell you why. What are you looking for in a rental car? Four tires, an engine, and it works. I mean, it's different than booking a hotel. And because you're going to go to islands where you already know the vendors, there are no great surprises with an opaque system like Priceline. You'll get what you need. But I want to give you a couple of cautions. Have you been to Hawaii before?
Yes.
Okay. Then you probably already know this, but a lot of people listening to the show who've not been to Hawaii before may not know this. Everybody has this fantasy that you're going to get to Hawaii and rent a four-wheel drive Jeep. Four-wheel driving in Hawaii is forbidden. There's no off-road driving allowed. So why would you rent an uncomfortable two-door, four-passenger Jeep where you can't, you know, keep anything secure in the car when you go to the beach or anything like that? Don't rent the Jeep. Don't fall for that trap. Get a regular hardtop car.
that you can rent and go through Priceline. That would be my first suggestion, or even Hotwire. But the bottom line is you don't have to rent it 7 years in advance. I would rent it 10 days in advance because the fleet sizes fluctuate in terms of demand there, although they're not going anywhere. Once they're on the island, they're on the island. It's not like Hertz or Avis moving cars from Florida to New York in the summer or down to Arizona in the winter. The fleet size is the fleet size, and unless you're competing with a major convention or a holiday period, which it doesn't seem like you are, you'll get a pretty good deal.
Okay, that sounds good.
You got it. I appreciate that.
Great. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. I will tell you a very funny story that happened to me in Hawaii when I rented a car once, and I made the mistake. See, you know, stories get done because you make mistakes. I wanted a Jeep. So I rented a Jeep from Dollar Rental Car, and so I get to the terminal of the airport, and there's the counter there, and I said, okay, I'm here to rent my car. And they said, great, here's your Jeep. Well, it wasn't what I expected. It was a Suzuki – no, it was a Geo Metro. It was a Geo Metro that looked like a Jeep if you bought it at a toy store, right? So I said, okay, I guess this is it. And they said, oh, by the way, here's your rental car agreement, and you also have to sign the waiver. I figured, what's the waiver? And here's what the waiver was. It said that I had to return the top in the up condition. I have to sign a waiver for that? Because if I didn't return the top in the up condition, I had to pay a $50 fine or a $50 fee. I said, wait a second. Why would they put this waiver in there? And then it dawned on me, like about a microsecond later, either they just want to make lots of money or the top is impossible to put up. I mean, why would they even make that rule? So I got the rental car guy out, and I said to him, hey, can you show me how this does? He says, oh, yeah, here's the instruction book for the top. The instruction book for the top? You know, put the thing in pin 5 and hole 7. I said, oh, my God. So now I figured, okay, I'll figure it out. I take the top down, and I'm driving thinking I'm cool. I get to the hotel, and the hotel in those days said, oh, congratulations, Mr. Greenberg. We're providing you with a butler. A butler in Hawaii is like Coles to Newcastle. You don't need a butler. What is a butler going to do for you when all you're going to do is put on a pair of shorts and go swimming? So for the next 5 days, every day the butler said, is there anything I can do with you? I said, no, there's nothing. It's fine. It's fine. Now it's time to leave and return the rental car. And the butler goes, is there anything I can do for you? I went, as a matter of fact, there is. Could you just put the top up on the Jeep? Yes. And I kind of like went back in my room and I kind of raised the blind a little bit to look outside. And next thing you know, I see the butler, two guys from engineering. They got a guy in there with screwdrivers and Phillips. And they worked like for 45 minutes to get this top up. But guess what? They got it up. And I'm thinking, I am not paying that $50 waiver. I am so happy. And I tip the guy. Thank you so much. And I drive back to the rental car location. I was so happy. You know, you can take that top and shove it. You know, here I am. I'm returning the car. And guess what? I didn't have to pay the waiver. But then something else happened. They billed me for 19 gallons of gas to refill the tank. This is on a Geo Metro. Something didn't sound right, but I was racing to the plane. I looked at the bill. I got back to Los Angeles, and I called the local dealer. I said, you sell Geo Metros? Yeah. How many gallons does a tank hold? 12. But the car company is charging me $19 to refill a tank I brought back half full? So now I called General Motors. And I said, you guys did the fleet sales for Dollar Rental Car? Yeah. And was there anything different in the cars that you sold them? Did they have extra special gas tanks? No. Well, by the time we were finished, the Attorney General of the State of Hawaii got a consent decree and a huge refund from Dollar Rental Car. They were hosing everybody for the $50 to get that stupid top back up. And also for the gas. So the moral to the story is this. You don't need a convertible. You don't need a Jeep. You don't need four-wheel drive when you go to Hawaii. And check the actual capacity of your gas tank every time you're in a car, whether it's in Hawaii, Houston, or Helena, Montana, because I don't want to get ripped off or hosed, and neither do you. So wasn't that a lovely lesson I learned? And thank God for the butler at the Manalani Hotel who, with the aid of two engineers, actually got my top up. Thank you, boys. Anyway, when we return, our good friend Terry Trespicio, the senior features editor for Whole Living magazine, formerly Body and Soul. How'd you like to be known as formerly Body and Soul? We'll be talking to Terry about travel on the road and how to be healthy when we come back.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here on this Labor Day weekend, coming to you from Delaware, Wilmington, Delaware, or Newark, depending on how specific you want me to be. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. And as we always do at this point of the show every week, I encourage you, it's going to sound self-serving until I explain it, to go to our website, petergreenberg.com, because that's where you'll find a comprehensive list of all the relief and aid organizations doing all that essential hard work in Haiti, in Western China, in Chile, and, of course, in the Gulf. Lots of opportunities for you on a year-round basis to aid in the rebuilding effort and the cleanup effort. These people need your help, and it's not going to be done on an overnight basis. I don't care what the fact is about not seeing it on the front page of your newspaper or not watching it on the network news. It's an ongoing story, and we will stay on top of it until it's done. And part of accelerating that process is getting you involved in a way that you can actually bring something to the party, otherwise known as you. So check out that list. Yes, you can donate money, and that's always going to help, but you can also donate goods, services, and your own expertise. Joining us now, as promised, our good pal, the senior features editor for Whole Living Magazine, formerly known, I love this, formerly known as Body and Soul, our good pal, Terry Trospicio. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
Can I call you formerly Body and Soul?
I am still the same person, actually. But, yes, the magazine did change names.
You know, Mark Twain once said, and I'll paraphrase it, you can learn a lot about somebody. All you have to do is travel with them. I say that to couples all the time. You know, they've been dating for about 2 or 3 months, and I'm going to presume sex has happened, and they're eating out a lot and having fine dining, and now they're about to take their first trip together. And I always say to them, okay, this is the great determinator. At the end of this trip, you will either marry the guy or never talk to him again, because
right.
everything that can be possibly thrown at you is thrown at you when you travel together. And how you adjust to that stress, how you basically react to that abuse, or in many cases anticipate it, is going to make all the difference, right?
It is, and the truth is, there's a lot of things you can do to manage stress, and sometimes getting out of a relationship is one of them. So sometimes that weekend trip may be the thing that speeds it to a close, if that's what you need.
Oh, you know what? We should market a whole new opportunity for people who are stuck in bad relationships. We'll call it the final trip.
Because that'll be the end of it.
Yeah,
I wonder
one person.
How many people
no, no,
went on
no.
Honeymoon
one,
I, and thought, "Uh-oh, this is
no,
maybe
I got
a bad
this.
Idea."
I got this. Here's how we do the final trip. One person gets a round trip ticket. One person doesn't.
and who gets to stay in Hawaii?
Exactly, and they can aloha, baby, aloha.
Yeah.
All right, but let's talk about. I mean, I can think of about 47 different points of abuse when you travel, and they're all waiting to happen to all of us. And in fact, when you think about it, Terry, we define it's a sad statement. We define a successful trip by how much we minimize the abuse, right?
Well, yeah, what are you talking about, though, traveling with someone or traveling alone? There's plenty of stressors also.
Either way, so take your shot. I'm all open ears here.
All right, well, let me tell you about a few ways to at least make your trip a little more relaxing. And if you have lousy company, I can't do much about that. But what you can do are take a few things with you. Pack in your bag something called Rescue Remedy. That's one of the things I like to keep on hand. It's a little spray bottle. It's got a little yellow cap. You might have seen it at the drugstore or whatever. It's basically a homeopathic remedy that is supposed to bring your nervousness and anxiety down a notch, which can help keep you from snapping at your husband, your wife, whoever you're with. So that's one thing that I actually do keep in my bag when I travel,
because you just don't know
when you're going to feel out of control.
All right. Now, for those people who are listening to Terry who don't know how out of control she can be, has it helped you?
Yeah, it does, because I am anxiety prone, like a lot of people. And when you're traveling, a lot of those things are out of your control. So if you go to Rescue Remedy, I mean, that's just one of the things I've tried that I like. That's one. You spray it in your mouth. There's also gum, and there's other things you can take, especially if you don't want to be taking heavy narcotics while you travel. This is a non-narcotic thing. But another thing you can do is take along some tea. I don't know if you've heard of this tea, Peter, in your travels. I'm sure you have. It's called holy basil tea. Holy basil is an herb. The tea form is called Tulsi tea. And there is some research that shows that drinking this a little bit every day can actually boost your restorative powers. It helps reduce the impact, the negative impact of stress on your mind and body. So if you know you're traveling, you know you're going to be a little stressed about it, start having a little bit of Tulsi tea every night. Pack the bags with you. That doesn't get an easier thing to pack in your bag. And sip some tea while you're traveling. That is something that you can do.
Okay, so
what about, what do you do to relax, Peter, when you travel?
Oh, just heavy sedation. No, I'm kidding.
Heavy sedation.
No.
I mean, I'm sure you like to have a little wine when you travel. I mean, what do
no,
you,
you, know what
do,
I
you
do
drink on the plane?
Oh, never. That is death. Anytime you
that's
have alcohol
death.
At altitude, that's a prescription for real problems. No, for me, I get headphones that look like the Rick Moranis character in Spaceballs, for those people who remember that movie. I mean, I'm looking like I'm landing a jet on an aircraft carrier. So
you bring those with you?
I have, on especially long flights, and that sends a signal to anybody sitting around me, I'm not interested in an extended conversation with you. And then I just play my favorite music, and I'm done. I mean, that's...
What kind of music do you bring?
Oh, God, it's a wide range of music. Everything from... I'll tell you, everything from Bonnie Raitt to Little Feat, for those people who remember Little Feat, to... And don't laugh, even though he beat up on his girlfriend. I even like a couple of Chris Brown songs. So I do the whole. I do, and I actually dance to them sometimes, which annoys a lot of people. Yeah.
Especially the people sitting next to you. Something to try, if you're going to bring your big earphones, your little headset, whatever, is this thing called, it's a CD called Alpha Relaxation System. And it's been put together by a musician and composer named Dr. Jeffrey Thompson, whose work I admire. He has created this music that has embedded, he calls it a soundscape. He has these certain beats, it pulses that are embedded in the music, which is sort of feels like spa music. It's sort of like, it does sound very kind of trippy. But what it does is entrains your brainwaves to help you actually achieve a light alpha state. So if you get a little nervous traveling and you want to zone out, that is one thing that you can try. Just get the CD, you can put it on your iPod and travel with it.
The only thing I worry about that, Terry, is that every time I see the Queen of Hearts, I kill somebody then.
Oh, jeez.
You're
a hazard.
No, no, no. All right, so now we have, let's recap. We got a little spray, we got the tea, we got a little audio enhancement. What else?
What about aromatherapy? Not everyone's into it. I know some people don't like to smell things. They're not into that. But especially when you're traveling, a tiny bottle of lavender essential oil or whatever one you like, citrus, a mint. Not everyone loves lavender. Lavender, though, however, real essential lavender can has been proven to work as a nervine, which means that it actually changes the chemistry of your brain to relax you. Whether you like the smell or not, it will do that to you. So if you pack a little bottle of that, you can just smell it from the bottle, put a few drops in your lotion or whatever, put a few drops on a tissue and put it on your pillow at night and when you're in a strange hotel room. This can actually have a really powerful effect on your brain and your ability to relax, if you like that. So that's another thing that you
can
do.
So basically, if I'm going to travel with you, I'm just going to sit next to you for 5 hours and just watch all the stuff you do.
I do a lot of things, and one of them is sleep. I mean, I think there's no better way to beat stress and anxiety than to sleep. And so I do that. I try to sleep on the plane. I take a nap when I get somewhere. Speaking on the wine thing, and you said, you know, drinking in the air is not great because you're so dehydrated, so dry up there, that
right.
You will then be even more depleted. I would say wine is not a bad thing once in a while to have a glass of to relax, but be wary when you're traveling because alcohol can disrupt your sleep cycle so that you might feel like, oh, it makes you nice and sleepy. You won't sleep through the night the way you would if you weren't drinking. So keep that in mind when you're traveling, not to do too much of it because you'll be dehydrated and exhausted.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to something you just said about sleeping. I mean, I have mastered the art of being able to sleep in any conceivable position on a plane. I came up with this when I was in college. I called it the center seat zen. Every time I get on a plane, I'm convinced I'm going to get the center seat in coach. If I get it, I'm not disappointed. If I don't, I'm pleasantly surprised. But either way, I can sleep with my head on the tray table. I can sleep with my head, you know, up against the seat back that has now reclined into my neck from the guy in front of me. And I've been able to do that because I zone out, and it may not be the most comfortable sleep, but it really helps them the stress.
Is it teachable? I mean, could you teach people to sleep in that position?
Sure. The way you sleep,
I mean,
not very simple.
Can.
No, the way you sleep in that position is you dream. You start thinking of things that really make you happy, the things you aspire to experience or have experienced, or people that you really like in your family, Oh, well, okay, well, that won't be a dream. Okay, but
that's a nightmare.
No, you don't. I'm kidding. But the bottom line is, you think of the people that you love and you care about. You think of the places you've been that you really that bring back great notions of romance and beauty, and you just zone right out.
I think zoning out is key, especially when you're in such tight quarters. Really
yeah.
important.
Oh yeah.
And
if
lastly,
you don't zone out in tight quarters, they're tighter quarters then.
Well, yeah, right? If you're feeling really stiff and achy, you might want to check out Jill Miller's therapy balls. She's at yogatuneup.com. They're these two yellow balls you can easily pack with you, and you can roll on them and roll out all the tension that you've built up.
All right. Terry Trespicia, who's now unstressed me for at least the next hour, darling. Of course, formerly Body and Soul, but you can see her, of course, in Whole Living Magazine, where she's the senior features editor. Terry, thanks again. We'll be back with some hidden secrets of Delaware you need to know. Back right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Avis. Avis, we try harder.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, coming to you from Delaware. Of course, we started today in Wilmington. We moved around to Newark, but we've been headquartered in Wilmington. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter at petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem so we can answer it right here on the air. We have a segment we always like to call Ask the Locals, and stuff we didn't know about, stuff that's not in the brochure, but stuff you need to see, that's accessible for you to see. And my next guest might know just a little bit about that. His name, Greg Coyne, is I love the title, the Chief Advancement Officer, as opposed to the Assistant Advancement Officer, for the Delaware Historical Society. And you know, when you say Delaware Historical Society, that's almost redundant, because Delaware is history.
Absolutely. It's one of the most historic states. We are, in fact, the third oldest historical society in the country.
If you're counting.
And we do.
So let's talk about the stuff that you know about, that I need to know about, stuff that I would not necessarily know about because I'm not picking up any racks of brochures in a hotel lobby. Stuff like, you know, observatories or gardens or just really cool places for horticulture.
Well, there's all kinds, as you probably know. The place that comes immediately to mind is the Tom Marshall Steam Car Museum in York Lynn. It's the largest collection of operating steam cars in the world.
Now, explain a steam car to my audience that was born like about 5 years ago.
Well, Stanley Steamer.
Stanley Steamer, okay.
By the way,
most people think Stanley Steamer cleans carpets. You understand?
They stole the name.
I know.
He has 13 Stanley Steamers that actually hit the road on the estate. It's a beautiful estate, and you talked about flowers and beautiful landscapes. It's a wonderful place. Was given to the state a couple of years ago so that it's now a preserve. And
do all these cars work?
All of them. All 13 of them, and they travel all over, all over the country, but all over Delaware as well.
I love a museum where you actually get to play with the stuff. Where it's interactive.
And you can play with a lot of stuff there, too. They also have a couple of 1/8 scale steam trains to take the kids around, and they have one of only two steam buses in the world.
They have a steam bus?
A steam bus. It carries 13.
Okay, I have to ask a stupid question. What's the range of this bus? How long can it travel before they have to put more water and coal in it?
Well, you don't want to get too far from the water. Yeah, you're right there.
Yeah.
They keep it on the property because it's such a unique piece, but it was actually built to take people up the mountains in Colorado, out in Estes, Colorado.
It had enough capacity to do that?
To do that, yes, absolutely.
And then it would coast down.
Yeah, well, downhill is the better part.
Exactly. All right, but give me an idea. We talked earlier on the show about the seasonal farmers markets here, but there's another market here, isn't there?
In terms of the...
It's called Tallulah's Table.
Oh, have you been there yet?
I was a long time ago.
Oh, wow, yeah. That's at what I would call the other end of the Brandywine Valley. It's in Kennett Square. It's a market, first, and second, it's a restaurant with one single table. And in fact, the table is in such demand that they only take reservations a year out, and you generally can't get a reservation at that point.
So you're telling me not to go there?
Well, plan ahead.
I don't know anybody who plans that far ahead, but you know what? Maybe.
If it's so good that people come from miles around to.
I've never heard that statement before. They come from miles around?
Miles.
Okay. In their steamers. We had the governor on earlier in the show, and he talked about, you know, a little-known fact of Delaware, that you've got wineries.
We do. And, in fact, we now have the new Wine and Ale Trail that was just founded a few weeks ago, actually. And we have a number of the places on that trail are right here in New Castle County.
But any particular wineries come to mind? Because I'm one of those guys, I don't want to just go on a bus and stand around in a tasting room. I really want to see it working. I want to be part of that.
Well, the closest and probably the largest of the about 10 wineries in the area is at Chad's Ford Winery, which is also at what I would call the other end of the valley, the Brandywine Valley. But we have about between southeastern Pennsylvania and northern Delaware, there's probably about a dozen or more wineries, some very well-known ones.
Because we're talking harvest season just about now.
Absolutely.
And I love the wineries that allow you to, they give you a pair of knee pads and a basket, and you're actually going out there getting the grapes.
That's so much fun.
Yeah.
My wife and I have both done that, and it's just a real experience.
And it's not a Lucille Ball episode. You don't have to stomp the grapes. It's not one of those things, but because most of those wineries are sort of mechanized at this point. But they do let you get out there and do that.
Well, when you can participate in something, it's always a lot more fun for the whole family when you can do that.
Well, it's more than just the fun part of it. If you understand the process, then you value the product.
Oh, well, I valued the product long before.
And you've been valuing the product ever since.
Absolutely.
You and the governor. I mean, I'm worried about both of you. What's the one thing that you would say is the biggest surprise, attraction, or experience here?
I would say I really love the new DuPont Environmental Education Center that's on the Peterson Urban Wildlife Refuge. Brand new. It's a $14 million center. You can go for free. You can bring the whole family. It's just a wonderful place to be.
And it's free. I love it.
Not that many, except in Delaware. I did a whole article on nothing but free sites, and there are many of them.
That's the cool part. And no sales tax.
And no sales.
See, I'm going to put that in there. Okay, Greg Coyne, I love your title, the Chief Advancement Officer for free. How about that? For free.
Okay, I'll take
it. For the Delaware Historical Society. Greg, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And when we come back, more of your emails and phone calls and some guy from Delaware Magazine. I don't know. We'll have to see what he has to say when we come back.
Now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
43 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you outside of Wilmington, Delaware, in Newark, Delaware. Newark. I'm going to get it right. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. We're here on the campus of the University of Delaware. That's 888-88-PETER. And, of course, we've got lots of people to deal with right now. We've got Mia from Bozeman, Montana, who writes, "My daughter is getting married this October. I would like to send her to Ireland for her honeymoon, and I'm overwhelmed with information. What I would like to know is which airline would be best to book with and your personal favorite place to stay. Just want to pick your brain." Not a problem, because I love Ireland. We were just there about 4 weeks ago doing a shoot. I say this about Ireland, and I'm not exaggerating this, with all due respect to Shirley MacLaine, I feel it also about Scotland. I actually believe I lived there in a previous life. That's the impact that place has had on me. I'm just always staggered by it, and it's always positive. But to answer your question, you're in Bozeman, Montana, so your nearest real gateway city to get to Ireland without changing too many plans would be Chicago, and Aer Lingus flies out of there. Or you can take British Airways to London and change, but I wouldn't want to put anybody through Heathrow. If you can go nonstop to Ireland, go. And if you can go to Shannon, I'd say go, because from Shannon you're basically hubbing there. We did the radio show from a place which would be a great location for the honeymoon, which is Drumalund Castle, which is literally about 6 miles outside of the airport in Shannon, but a million years away in terms of experience. It's so great. There's Limerick there. There's the cute little hotel there called the Dunraven Inn, or the Dunraven Arms, I should say. The whole hotel is like a maze to get around it. And so, and of course, if you can get to southwestern Ireland, which is Cork and Galway, my two favorite places in all of Ireland, you know, I always ask people where they sleep the best. Other than one place in my life, which is Fire Island, Galway and Cork are the two places where I sleep the best. I totally recommend that. And have a great time. And get the oysters there because they are so fresh. I hope that helps you out there. And have a great honeymoon from Bozeman, Montana to Ireland. An email from William in Indianapolis. Do you have any advice on any international universal access plan to access the Internet while traveling? Yeah, it's called Internet cafes wherever you happen to be. You don't need a plan. Just go in there and go to any Internet cafe, and they're everywhere. Now, if you really want to do it wirelessly from your computer, there are a couple of places. One is called TrendNet. That's the name of the company. They have a wireless travel router. It's about $75, and it's a USB deal that lets you power from your computer. And Apple has an Airport Express base station. However, you know what? It doesn't necessarily mean it's always going to work overseas. My bottom line is, if you want to take your laptop, most places have wireless, or they have the broadband cable. And I have to tell you, as much as people are embracing wireless, if I have the choice of wireless or broadband, in many cases, I'll take the broadband. It's a better connection. It stays with you. It doesn't always knock you off. I'm at the Hotel DuPont in Wilmington. I'm sure they have wireless, but I saw that broadband cable. I just plugged it right in, and I was set to go. From Connie in Reno, Nevada, three of us are planning to embark to London and Paris. We are considering this deal, a $599 London-Paris 8-day trip with air, hotel, and breakfast. Are you kidding me? From Reno, Nevada, $599 for 8 days in London and Paris? There's nothing to consider. Go. I mean, now, you'll be staying at a hotel, 19 people to a room. No, I'm kidding. But the bottom line is, whenever you see a deal like that, you have to ask yourself this important question. How close is the hotel where we're going to be staying to mass transit? And if you're in London and Paris, you're not going to have a problem. And second of all, how much time are you actually going to be spending in your hotel room other than to shower and sleep? The answer is nothing. Hotel rooms, when you want to see a city for the first time, are overrated, unless the hotel is the destination in and of itself. And certainly there's some great hotels in London and Paris that qualify for that. But my bottom line is, for that deal, you take it. Just understand that the hotel is, you just have to ask some basic questions. Will I be sharing a bathroom? And is it double or single occupancy? Once you get over those two humps, it is a great deal. So, Connie, I'd say take the deal. One quick one from Roxanne in Boulder City, Nevada. I'm having a difficult time trying to get info on the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. No difficult getting information there. It's called You'll Be Standing in a Long Line. I mean, since that attraction opened, Universal has seen their initial estimates of how many people are going to visit go through the roof. So go to our website. We have some information on that on petergreenberg.com, which will tell you the best days of the week to go so you're not standing in a longer line. The bottom line is the park opens up officially, and then the park opens up unofficially every day. You want to get there when it opens up unofficially to be first on that line. And that's about all I can tell you. Bottom line is you don't have to stay at the park. You don't have to stay at one of those hotels, but some of the hotels at Universal are located within more or less walking distance of the attraction. And I think when you see it, you'll be staggered by how much money they put into it. It's a huge, huge facility. But remember, lines, lines, and more lines. Back with more with the editor of Delaware Today. Not Delaware Tomorrow, not Delaware Yesterday, the editor of Delaware Today, right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
MedJet Assist. If you're injured or hospitalized while traveling, MedJet Assist will arrange medical transportation directly to the hospital of your choice. Travel safely and be smart. Get MedJet Assist. Take trips, not chances.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
52 minutes after the hour here in Delaware. A couple of months ago, I was back in Wilmington and had the honor of meeting our next guest. In fact, we shared a dinner together at a restaurant. When I first saw it on the outside, I said, oh, it's another tourist restaurant. And then we went in, And first of all, I was blown away by the menu. I mean, that menu went on for days, and everything on it was great. It's called Harry's Seafood Grill. Correct, Mark?
Correct.
And that's Mark Nardone, who's the editor of Delaware Today magazine. And I really enjoyed the owner, Xavier, who nothing but great stories to talk about. But, you know, when you come to Delaware and when you come to Wilmington, and we've talked about this earlier in the show, I mean, not many people know about Wilmington. I mean, they really don't. Great seafood, great places to go. And when you're off the brochure, I figure who better to talk about off the brochure than you, Mark Nardone, editor of Delaware Today. So other than Harry's Seafood Grill, which we both enjoyed, I mean, where else do you like to hang out that may not have a brochure?
Oh, boy. You know, there are a few places in Delaware that really are just amazing. We have a couple of old forts. One of them is Fort Delaware, which is kind of our own little Alcatraz. It's right off Delaware City. It's an island in the Delaware River. It's a huge heron rookery. It was a Civil War fort and hospital. You take a small ferry to get there, and it is a weird, cool, spooky place. You just have to see it.
And you just go there. It's like a half a day trip, right?
No, well, you could spend a half a day there. The boat ride is a very short boat ride.
That's what I'm saying, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. You'll see it pop up on shows like Ghost Hunters and things like that once in a while.
Now, we've had the chef on earlier in the show, but I would be remiss if I know it's in the brochures, but we have to mention it, the Green Room.
Oh my God! Yes. It is the premier dining experience in Delaware. You know, you go into the Green Room. It's this huge Rococo room, vaulted ceilings, gilded everywhere. The food is just outstanding. It is world class.
So, I mean, if you're going to treat yourself to a more formal dinner, right? I mean, that's the traditional fine dining dinner.
My wife and I love it on Valentine's Day.
I'll remember not to go. Okay. Get them out of the room. But then you got some little dives.
Yes.
I want the dives.
Oh, my God. There's a great place in Port Penn. Port Penn is a little waterman's town just above the C&D Canal. There's a place there called Kelly's.
Yep.
Kelly's is nothing fancy. It's a cinder block building. They have something called a clam and sausage chowder, which sounds completely wrong, but it is
clam and sausage chowder.
Clam and sausage. It is unbelievably good. Good local crab
and
cakes.
Crab cakes, yep.
Yep. And once a year they have something called a marshland dinner. It's a fundraiser for, I think, one of the local fire companies. But you can eat things like muskrat, duck, geese, all locally caught.
Okay. Now let's shift gears to Italian.
Okay. Now we're talking. You want to go to Little Italy in Wilmington? There's a place called Mrs. Rubino's.
Okay, how little is Little Italy in Wilmington?
Little Italy is quite a few square blocks, actually. And it's all it's surrounding St. Anthony Padua Church. And,
I'm shocked.
Yeah, amazing. Some great restaurants there. Mrs. Rubino's has been there since the 40s. It was probably the first place I ever ate. There's a place called Attilio's, another great homestyle.
What's great about Mrs. Rubino's?
It's just the atmosphere of the place. It's been there so long. It's got such a history. They have...
What kind of Italian? Are we talking northern Italian? Are we talking just spaghetti and meatballs?
You're talking Wilmington Italian. It's a mix of everything. You know, it's mostly a red gravy type place. Great crab sauce. Great red crab sauce on the spaghetti.
Now you
good homemade
Attilio,
noodles.
You mentioned Attilio's.
Attilio's. Attilio's is famous for fried peppers. They're actually fried crispy peppers. They're delicious. Great fried smelts. It's the kind of place where before he became vice president, you could see Joe Biden there anytime.
Now you just see the Secret Service testing the food for Joe Biden.
Exactly.
I just thought I'd mention that. Now, earlier in the show, we had the governor on. We mentioned the fact that Delaware, at this moment, does not have a single national park, but it's got 17 state parks.
Yes, it does, and some of them are absolutely amazing. 5 minutes from here is White Clay Creek State Park, and it's very similar to Brandywine Creek State Park. You know, they're both centered around creek valleys, but typical, beautiful Appalachian Piedmont terrain.
Easily accessible.
Easily accessible.
No lines.
A world away from the suburbs or the city.
See, we did a piece on the CBS Early Show. We talked about the hidden or the least experienced or least visited national parks, where you had a lot of state parks next to them that nobody even knew about, including state parks that are next to Yosemite or state parks that are next to Yellowstone that people don't even know about, and that's the same great experience.
Yeah, and an amazing thing, one of the secrets of Delaware, we have a Frederick Law Olmsted Park right in the middle of Wilmington, Brandywine Park, same designer as Central Park for those who don't know who Frederick Law Olmsted is, but...
The same guy that Central Park.
Same guy.
Is it as well laid out?
Better. Smaller, but better.
All right. Now, who's going to the Super Bowl?
The Redskins.
No, earlier I heard it was the Eagles. Now, which
no, no Eagles. It's Mike Shanahan and Donovan McNabb and the Redskins.
So were you an Eagles fan when he was playing for the Eagles?
I was never an Eagles fan. Sorry to say. Very unpopular thing to say in Wilmington, but it's true.
Okay, now you picked the two teams that I think are the least likely to go to the Super Bowl. You realize that.
And they are, but you have to be hopeful.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm a Mets fan. Need I say more? But the bottom line is the Redskins, come on.
Every dog has his day.
Okay, the Redskins this year will win four games.
Probably.
See, you agree with that. And you're a fan.
am a fan.
Okay, so do you have season tickets?
No, I don't. University of Delaware.
Short season, trust me. They're going to win 4 games. I'm going to say that once again. Mark Nardone, the editor of Delaware Today magazine. Hey, Mark, thanks for joining us.
Thanks,
Peter. Really appreciate that. And it's always fun to see you.
Likewise.
Let's go back to Harry's and order everything off the menu.
Anytime.
You got it.
All right.
All right. By the way, guys, I want to thank everybody here in Delaware. You guys have been so great. Bottom line is, lots of people to thank. Of course, Jeff Ryder, our engineer in New York. But today it's Wayne. It's Wayne Taylor. I always forget to mention Wayne. Not today. Wayne gets mentioned today. Of course, Jessica Silverman, our producer here. Shelley Goncharowski, our chief producer out on the West Coast. Sarah Willoughby, who made all this happen. Of course, we want to thank Joe Dombrowski, who doing the boards here. And, of course, the wonderful people at the University of Delaware who let us camp in here in Newark. We'll be back next week with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from another remote location. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com.